Hello, innovators, explorers, and risk takers. Welcome to another episode of the Web3 with Sam Kamani podcast. I'm your host, Sam Kamani, and I'm thrilled to be interviewing Akash Mahindra from Heaven One and Yield App. Together, we are going to explore the future of blockchain and finance and how this technology is shaping Web3. Get ready for an episode that is filled with expert insights and forward-thinking ideas in the world of Web3. Finally, nothing mentioned in this podcast should be taken as investment advice. Do your own research. And also, I do not run any ads on this podcast. My only ask is that you share this episode with a friend. With that out of the way, let's get into it. Akash, it's great to have you on the show. So looking forward to talking with you. Always a pleasure to talk with people who are passionate about this space and who are building in this space. So first of all, for some of our audience, can you please introduce Heaven One and Yield App and everything that you are involved in?
Thanks, Sam. So hello, everyone. Yes. So essentially, my main project that I'm working on right now is Haven One, which is an EVM compatible layer one blockchain, providing secure, accessible compliance solution in the blockchain area. And what we're really doing is building a user-friendly on-chain finance to developers, retail, and institutional investors. Haven One is actually incubated by Yield App. So Yield App's like a digital wealth platform with over 550 million AUM back in the bull run of 2021. We previously deployed over 250 million into DeFi and had 90,000 active users. Yeah, and essentially it came out of a need. Everyone really came out of the need for a safeguarded ecosystem, a more secure, more stable, more reliable space for both retail, institutional investors, and any other actors to transact and participate in on-chain finance.
That's fantastic. And Whereabouts is your team based, or is it all decentralized?
So the Haven One Foundation, the association is registered in Switzerland. We have people all around the world. We've got one of our hubs is in Bangkok. I'm based in Australia. We've got people in England. We've got people in Spain, really just all around the world. But the home base is in Switzerland. We're registered under the jurisdiction over there. It's a very transparent and very crypto-friendly area. So a lot of projects are moving into Switzerland. It's going to be something that we kind of work with all the regulators, as well as all the people kind of building up that space. So it's a very exciting time for that area.
Yes. Nearly, it feels like we're at the end of the year. What are your plans for Heaven One for 2024? And that's the first part of the question. And the second part is, where do you see the market going? Market as in, I don't mean any token prices, as in like the industry going in 2024.
Look, I think in terms of the market, there seems to be a lot of positive momentum right now, given that expectations of a Bitcoin ETF, there's expectations of friendlier regulations coming in. We're reaching a space where it seems like we're ready to onboard the next millions or whatever users. With a lot of layer two scaling solutions are reaching that point as well. So yeah, it is a very exciting part for the industry. And you can see the assets prices are being reflected in that positive sentiment, due to that positive sentiment, I should say. But as we all know, it's a very uncertain market. Most likely, if you get one or two pieces of bad news in the next couple of months, yeah, things can change very quickly, as we all know. It is, yeah. We're yet to see real liquidity come into DeFi, into space. It's the same kind of site. There's a lot of stable coins that people are plugging into the market. But yeah, nothing really that I've seen so far that confirmed the sentiment that's up only from here. Yeah, we're unsure on where we are going.
All good. Yeah, I have a question. You know how you say that Heaven One is a EVM compatible blockchain? So is it like would you call it like a L1, L2? How would you define it?
So it is a layer one blockchain. So yes, it's a little bit about how it's built. It's designed using GoQuorum, which is an open source blockchain platform that was built by JP Morgan. And then it's currently being managed by Consensus. And we are working very closely with the Consensus team every week to upgrade and improve the client. What GoQuorum really allows us to do is create a blockchain network that provides, how you say it, it's flexible and expressive network permission management. So it's very different to how Ethereum or other public layer one blockchains work. Mm-hmm. It really allows us to really dive deep into our value propositions. And that's two main things that we are focusing on. First thing is a safeguarded ecosystem. So Haven One will be designed using network level guardrails. So the security is actually baked into the protocol itself. These guardrails are designed to protect, not restrict the financial opportunity of the users on the network itself. We see a lot of issues with public DeFi blockchains. That's why we're building Haven One and as on-chain finance. It's not exactly DeFi. It's more like a place where new users who haven't used DeFi before, who haven't really been onboarded onto Web3, it's like a middle kind of layer for them to have a safer place to transact. The second significant aspect is the provable identity framework. Every single person who wants to use Haven One will be required to complete identity verification before they execute any on-chain transactions. What that really does is provide all on-chain users really with the assurance that everyone's actions on-chain are compliant, they're performed by known actors, and one's kind of exploiting the AML requirements or the CTF issues.
Well, that's fantastic. So that's something I can clearly see a point of differentiation, the second point that you said, because I talk with a lot of people from different L1 blockchains, and my question to them is like, why do we need another layer one? And every chain says that, we're reducing the transaction cost, it's more secure, it's the same thing that everyone says.
So in terms of public blockchains, nothing's going to be Ethereum security. Like just the number of validators, just the number of the baked-in security the entire chain has. I don't think that's really a value proposition for any other L1. What we're trying to do, we're not competing with Ethereum at all, Sam. So we think there's enough of the pie for everyone. There's enough. DeFi, what I mean to say is DeFi right now is a very small pie. There's only a million like active users daily. I don't know. A lot of them might be bots. Whilst TradFi or Web2 has billions and billions of people who use it every single day. Yes. What we need to do is expand the pie rather than fight for that piece of that pie right now. So we're very clear about this. We're not competing with Ethereum because Ethereum is a public blockchain.
Yes.
What we're trying to do is build something which complements Ethereum, complements the other networks in a safeguarded ecosystem with a provable entity framework that can benefit certain parties that aren't allowed to transact on Ethereum. So let's say I was previously working as an asset manager for Yield App. Now, we spoke to a lot of different parties, BlackRock, UBS, a lot of big companies that want to deploy funds in DeFi, your JP Morgan, whatever it is. They won't really want to deploy funds in DeFi, but they can't do on public blockchains because those big companies have consistently told us that they need to know who the counterparty is when they are deploying funds. Otherwise, they'll be pinged by OFAC for mixing funds with potential terrorism financing teams or someone who's skirting AML regulations. So it's very impossible for those kind of companies, public companies, as well as institutions and even certain users to deploy in Ethereum because there's just an unknown counterparty risk. And that's not going to change at all. We need better solutions. We need different solutions that we have right now. There's no point in creating the same L2s or the same L1s that people have been doing over and over again.
Yes, 100%. I completely believe in that. But regarding the usage, where do you think we are likely to see an increased usage over the next, say, 6 to 12 months?
I suppose there's people who already use DeFi and people who already use Web3, but they're a very small amount of people. And I think those
very
people...
small.
Yeah, the people who use it right now won't ever go back to Web2 only. Once you have the freedom and the flexibility of using stable coins, not using a middleman, it's very hard to go back and transacting or completely back to using banks or the centralized institutions. What we really need to do is bring assets, real-world assets, I suppose, that's a good way to put it, on-chain itself. Now, a lot of people trade something like, I think there's stock market trading or equity trading, things like that. There's just so much of that which happens in TradFi space. Even if we capture maybe 5 or 10% of that, bring it on chain, that's going to be such a big boom for the market. And we have that opportunity right now because once a lot of these, let's just say, like a lot of these blockchains are scaling and have scaled, bringing those kind of users on, allowing people to do trade equities, minerals, precious metals, whatever it is, on chain, that's going to open the floodgates significantly. I'm not sure. Look, I don't think we have the capabilities of matching the TradFi systems just yet. There are blockchains which are scaling. The issue we're having is on the regulation side. Let's just say that, let's say you want to bring uranium. There's Australia's got a lot of uranium. You want to bring uranium on chain for people to trade at. Who's going to be the custodian of uranium and who's going to deploy that uranium on chain? Like, the Australian government, you're probably going to face a lot of regulatory hurdles doing that. Things are improving slowly, but who's going to be a custodian? Who's going to manage it? Who's going to manage security risk? The Australian government will want to know all these things before they approve a equities, a precious metals exchange on chain in the Australian. And what kind of blockchain security will that have? There's all these questions which are left unanswered. There's a significant number of teams which are trying to solve that kind of dilemma and work with governments and whoever's responsible for creating regulations. But we're still a little bit away from that completely succeeding in making it a smoother process. There's always going to be those kind of issues until the industry matures and we get some more confidence back into Web3. The other thing is stablecoins. Here, all the four big banks in Australia are working with some sort of stablecoins. It's difficult to imagine how it's going to work if the governments control a central CBDC. But yeah, I think an easy way to onboard more users will be stablecoin usage, creating apps or creating reliable apps for people to send each other stablecoins, receive stablecoins as payments. But it creates a different kind of issue on decentralization. What kind of stablecoins will be allowed by the government? How are you going to verify which stablecoins are safe? It's going to become different kind of problems. But yeah, if we can, especially for the developing countries, if we can push even more stablecoin usage or to give them the option at least, then it's going to definitely drive more users onto the blockchain.
Yeah, definitely. I do see a lot of promise when it comes to stablecoins, and it feels like stablecoins have been the killer app that has come out in the last year and a half when it comes to adoption. What apps or like concepts are you most bullish about? Of course, you'd be bullish about Yield app, but apart from that, any other apps that you see?
Are you talking about DeFi apps, or are you talking more about centralized kind of institutional apps?
Both.
In terms of DeFi, ideally, like we're both, you're in New Zealand, I'm in Australia. I want apps, decentralized apps that can allow me to buy and sell things which I can't do right now in the Web2 space. For example, if I want to freely exchange US equities or buy US treasury bills, I want DeFi apps that allow me to be able to exposure those kind of assets. It's very difficult for us to buy US treasury bills right now as an Australian citizen. You can't do it. You just got to pass a number of accreditation tests. You got to, I don't know, declare X, Y, Z things. It's a big process in the TradFi space, and there's reasons behind that. Now, if something like Ondo Finance, which sells on-chain treasury bills, if they can make it simpler for not just Americans, but people all around the world to get exposure to those kind of assets, then it's huge. It gives us a guaranteed yield, gives us exposure to just US dollar stable coins. That kind of stuff to me is going to be very useful. And there's very good teams building that kind of thing. It's just going to take a little bit of time to scale. And that's just one of those things. If people can increase that kind of that sort of exposure for the normal person, then I think it's going to onboard more and more people. In terms of pure DeFi, I'm a big fan of permissionless DEXs such as Curve Finance. And what you're seeing is the PayPal USD stablecoin is also now tradable on Curve Finance. That's incentivized, so there's big liquidity pool for PayPal USD. I can definitely see any big institution, the Visa stablecoin, which is going to come eventually, them having liquidity on big DEXs like Curve. Me being able to buy and sell gold, tokenized gold on Curve Finance, that kind of thing. Doesn't have to be Curve, but any DEX which can manage that kind of output. Of course, Curve is probably one of the biggest positioned ones right now, just based on its history and how much kind of backing and liquidity it has, it's been able to manage. I'm very bullish on any DeFi protocol which can bring those kind of assets on chain and make it a very simple user experience rather than creating XYZ hurdles around it.
Oh, that's fantastic. I have a question around like adoption. Every L1 wants adoption. Every L1 wants developers. Every L1 wants people to build on top of it. What is your secret sauce? How do you guys encourage that adoption? And what efforts have been most successful for you guys?
So, yeah, it's a very competitive market out there. There's something 100 plus blockchains right now, including layer twos. Now, it's going to keep increasing. We're trying to... There's very little differentiation going on in this space. Like there is some layer twos on top built on top of Ethereum do differ from chain to chain. But the problem is it becomes an issue of oversaturation. Now, by this time next year, I expect there to be 200 plus blockchains. They're all fighting for developers, they're all fighting for liquidity. They're all kind of fighting for users as well. I think there's a good saying, and I think in the Web2 space or any other startup, that the first 1,000 users are always going to be your hardest, your most difficult to get. But thankfully, because we are incubated by YieldApp, YieldApp right now has 40,000 active users. So we shouldn't have any issue onboarding those users from that use YieldApp to give Haven 1 a try, manage assets on Haven 1, given that it is going to be a safeguarded ecosystem, given it's going to be one of those things where they can play around without any issues of being hacked or being exploited, just because it is the way the chain is built, that we will have a lot of network level guardrails. Now, in terms of developers, we really want to, whilst we are focusing on Web3 developers, what we have here is a chance for Web2 developers to also join into the Web3 world. So a lot of our team has come from the Web2 space or the TradFi space. Now, we speak to a lot of these Web2 developers, and the main issue that they have is, first of all, there's a big learning curve to code the Web3 languages. That's accepted. But the other big thing that they have issues with is they don't want to risk building something in Web3 and that it gets exploited. There's so many hacks every week, every month, exploits that people don't know about, exploits that there's a lot of issues happening in the space that that people, it's getting more and more impossible to manage risk. I was previously an asset manager. I'm still working as an asset manager for YieldApp, but mainly focusing on Haven 1. Now, we didn't know all the risks in DeFi. We were the experts. Like, our risk model that picked up all the issues which happened, but we wouldn't be calling ourselves like someone who knows everything in this space. Balancer got exploited a number of times this year. I think Curve also had a 0-day hack. So even the blue chip protocols had issues. So what we want to do is give developers a blockchain that they can deploy without repercussions. So, for example, if they deploy an app on Haven 1, these are what two developers are talking about. Like, they don't have to worry about them being liable for losing funds because we've got protections, we've got safeguards, we've got guardrails to a system. So that's one of our targets as well. Like, bring the Web2 developers into the space, not because it's really very, compared to Web2, there's only a very small amount of Web2 developers out there. It's increasing every week, yes, but yeah, it's difficult to.
I think it's small number, 30 to 50,000 compared to 29 million or something Web2 developers. It's crazy. The number difference is massive.
Exactly. There's definitely a huge shortage still. You can probably tell by the developer salaries and in the, I suppose, the way things are built in this space, which is rather than testing, rather than proper auditing, people just deploy because they're so impatient. It has a lot of issues. Shortages have a lot of issues.
Yeah, it's just also the nature, because it is permissionless, like our field, it is very permissionless. And it is very decentralized that people build all sorts of things everywhere. So that's the pro and the not so positive aspect of it at the same time of our space. But having said that, I have a question around what is your most contrarian view or non-mainstream view when it comes to this whole space of Web3 and blockchain and crypto?
I think, I don't know if this is a non-contrarian view, but I think a centralized entities, centralized blockchains will onboard more people than completely public blockchains. I think people are very used to having safety guardrails or using some sort of safeguard. Like, everyone likes, most people like using banks because they don't want self-custody, especially the old generation.
100%, yeah. I agree. Like, probably I would say 98% of people in the world would prefer that.
Yes, and that's the problem. How are you going to onboard billions of users in this current, how the way our wallets and ledgers and stuff are built? Because I understand a lot of people out there, I love using DeFi. I love playing around with new protocols, things like that. But you can lose all your funds in an instant. Like, it's, you approve the wrong thing, or you're just not paying attention, or you lose your keys, or something happens. It's such a difficult space to navigate, even if you've been in the space for a number of years. I don't understand how, and there's some Ethereum or Bitcoin maxis or whatever it is, they think everyone will be using self-custody in their own wallets. I don't see how that, I might be wrong. I think someone like Coinbase will, for example, someone like Coinbase, who is regulated, trusted in the space, will onboard way more users than an Ethereum blockchain, for example. It's just very difficult for me to imagine that everyone will go to a public blockchain like Ethereum when people, it's such a difficult user experience. It's such a vast gap of knowledge. on what, like, from like where they initially come from. So people are used to using Web2 apps, not worrying about where the funds are. Now, if you're going to trying to onboard like people to Web3, where there's wallets, there's all these protections you need to like look out for, it's a big hurdle.
Yeah. I completely agree with that. I have seen anyone who's got parents and you do tech support for your parents, you know that people forget passwords. People forget it's a challenging environment. And whenever there is decentralization, there is a huge lack of customer service and support in a completely decentralized environment. It is very challenging for someone who's not very technologically literate. Even for people who are technologically literate, they've lost money in crypto. It's like everyone I know who's been in this space for 10 years has lost money.
Yeah.
Stage. Whether they've lost money in rug pulls or they've lost money in by forgetting their passwords, keys, hardware getting corrupt, all sorts of issues. So that is a constant issue.
Yeah. Even the experts in the space, you hear from time to time them getting hacked. Like, I do understand how that happens. It's one of those things you just can't control every single thing, which is very unfortunate.
20% of all Bitcoin is lost. It's lost to hardware issues, lost to lost keys, all sorts of issues. So I know most people trust their bank to look after their password more than they trust themselves. And that's exactly. The rest is, you pay a fee. So that's what you pay banks for. But I agree with what you just say. What's your vision for Heaven One? Where would you like to see it in, say, 2 years or 5 years or going forward?
So in the short term, Sam, what we're really aiming for is testnet by the year, end of this month. So the first incentivized testnet, ideally by, I think, end of November, we do want to launch that to the public. There's a bunch of apps that we're building on it right now. There'll be a lot of things for people to play around with. And it's going to showcase all the USPs, such as the safeguard ecosystem and the provability framework. So that's our first short-term goal. Ideally, we want to launch mainnet by sometime next year. We're aiming for the middle of the year with tech. We don't know what happens. It's one of those things where I don't want to preempt what will happen in the next 6 to 12 months kind of thing. Yeah, so in the first year, and especially specifically in the next 12 months, what we're doing is, it's all these use cases on Haven One that people can use the provable identity framework. Like on-chain verification allows for a number of things which can be built on Haven One, which can't be built on, let's say, Ethereum or for example, on-chain treasury bills and things like that. So Haven One has all these use cases, like compliant fundraising can be done. You can have on-chain real world assets and treasury bills because each user is verified. So what we're really doing is doing an outreach with a number of developers to build those solutions on Haven One. Now, they can't build them on Ethereum because it's a public blockchain. You don't know counterparty risk. There's all this regulation in Europe coming in, such as Mika, which requires developers to know the counterparty risk. So that's the area that we will really shine. We can target companies and developers and institutions that need compliance in some form. They need on-chain verification of users. It's a gap that really exists in the market right now. There's virtually no one building this because I suppose people can't keep building the same L1s or similar L1s with different kind of technology or just trying to improve the transaction speed by some small amount here and there or allow for more transactions. It's what we really need to solve is the real world issues that people have are coming on chain. And that's our goal in the next 12 months, just explaining those use cases to developers and institutions and getting more people on board.
Yep. I have another question around this whole adoption side of things and how you're talking about getting more developers involved and getting them building on the space. So I've talked to a number of L1 chains and all that, and everyone has their own way of engaging. And one of the most common way of engaging with developers is like creating a grant program, some sort of a grant program. And then the another one that takes it one step further is creating like a kind of a small mini venture fund, investing in not even seed, but pre-seed stage startups to encourage them to build on their infrastructure, build on their L1 chain and deploy on their chain. Is Heaven One also thinking of going down that route?
So yes, in terms of grants program, yes. That's a top priority to launch that right now. It should be, we've already spoken to a number of partners and developers in the space who interested in deploying in Haven One, and we're going to point them towards the grant system. We haven't really considered a venture fund, but that's something. Yeah, that's something I've seen other blockchains do that, especially maybe Base has started giving out those kind of grants as well. Base chain, yeah. So that's something we may consider in the future. For the moment, I think the grants program will be the most suitable way for developers to reach out to us and really incentivize people to deploy and start building.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That's in what you call even the one step before the grants program is the bounties, going to hackathons, doing the bounties, and then there's the grants for projects that are still continuing after the hackathon is the grants, and then is the accelerator, then the incubator, then the it's a whole sort of ecosystem, pretty much that how to cultivate these days. But yeah, it is very interesting. Another question that I have is just around more on the human side of things. Just personally for you, where do you think you have changed your thinking when it comes to Web3? For me, it has changed multiple times in the last 8 years that I've been testing and trialing different things in this whole blockchain space. Yeah, so same question for you.
I think, as on the point I thought before, I thought everything was going to be on-chain with no centralized parties. I think I was really convinced at one point, maybe a couple of years ago, that we need permissionless systems. We need everything completely removing centralized entities. But just based on the amount of hacks and exploits and issues that we've had in the past 2 years, as I think Chain Analysis said, there's been over 2 billion lost in DeFi over in the last couple of years alone. That's a significant amount of money. Like, we need some protections. I just don't think the industry is maturing in terms of how we identify and quantify risk. It's not really advanced at all in terms of creating industry standards for contracts, for auditing firms, for any user protections. And that's what really worries me a little bit, that the more money that comes into DeFi or Web3 space, if we continue along this path, the more money that's going to be lost. And who really wins? It's like the black hats, it's the scammers, it's the people who are exploit protocols. I have this concern that we need to have industry standards. We need to have some sort of protections for users. Yeah, it's just been billions, like a lot of them bridge hacks. You don't know how, if it's inside jobs, or you don't know who's behind them. People keep saying North Korean hackers, the Lazarus group, whatever it is, might be true. I don't know. It's hard to find proper evidence to back that sort of stuff up. But regardless, that because we are innovating so much, there's a number of layer twos which we've built, a number of layer twos on ZK Tech. It's all very untested. There's Optimism chain right now, which is operating without any fraud proofs. Same with Arbitrum. There's billions of dollars of TVL on those kind of chains. Now,
yeah,
we don't know if it's reliable or tested technology. It's very new things are happening in this space. So yeah, that's the kind of thing. Like,
there's so few ZK developers. Developers who know how to develop for zero knowledge proofs.
Exactly.
So few in the world. You can count them on a hand, probably. And they all have their own projects in ZK. So it's not like, how do you even hire someone in that space? But I completely hear what you mean. So what's the solution? Do we just keep playing with fire?
Look, I think we just need proper testing and auditing. There's got to be some industry standards. At least we come to a consensus amongst ourselves that at least if you want to launch a protocol or launch an L1, you need XYZ audits, or you need certain protections or battle testing until you're fully ready to go live. I think as an industry, we need to all come together and push for some certain standards that protect users, because now there's all the layer two launching right now. We don't know what's safe, what isn't safe. No one can really tell. Not many users out there can figure out risks for themselves, right? Like, it's all up in the air, and no one can figure out what ZK Tech is safe or L2 Tech is safe. People just kind of bridge funds and hope for the best. Yeah, I'm not really that sure what the long-term solution is, but at least in the short term, we can create some industry standards that we all agree on.
Yeah, I think so. Like, one of the things that brings an option for standardization is centralization, which is so opposite to the ethos of a lot of the Web3 players that, yeah, I don't know how to bridge that gap between, yeah. So it is something I think we'll just have to see how the whole industry evolves. And also a lot of the times, standardization, the whole process takes a lot longer than the innovation that happens in a permissionless space. because so much of our space is permissionless and decentralized that innovation happens faster. I still feel like this space is innovating faster than any other space. It is so hard. I work in this field. I talk with so many people, like really smart people like you, all around the world. I cannot keep up to date with all the innovation happening in DeFi, in GameFi, in CIF, like so many RWAs and stablecoins. There's like
good time. It's good time to be in the space. There's a lot happening.
Products out there, like inflation-proof stablecoins and this type of stablecoins and stablecoins tied to commodities instead of US treasuries. And
the one I saw recently, I think USDY is stablecoin backed by, what do you call it, the treasury bills, which is fantastic. It automatically earns interest as you go along.
Yeah. So it's just, I cannot keep up to date with the innovation. Even though I work full time in this space, I cannot keep up to date with innovation. I feel like this space is innovating faster, even faster than AI in some instances. Does it feel like that to you, or am I the only one?
No, I think it's very hard to keep up with everything. It's difficult because we are, of course, building in the space right now. You really want to give, especially with the markets happening and everyone who is deploying and launching XYZ projects every week, that you really want to participate in those projects or watch the market, that you don't want to get distracted from being building. So it's a good time if you're like, if you're just a normal user, if you can try all these apps out, learn. It gives you really, if you're not really, if you have some time, you can definitely try and learn about new tech and get involved in different things. And all this provides an opportunity. There's never been a better time to learn about Web3, learn a bit of coding or data analysis, or even just create your own risk management systems, that sort of thing. There's just so much demand for people who have even a little bit of knowledge. Yeah, I've been encouraging my friends who work in law or traditional finance, that kind of stuff, to try and dive into the space and see if it suits them and maybe they can jump over.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. 100% I agree. On that note, I love the point that you made that there is never a better time to learn about Web3 than right now, and also that there is such a huge demand for people in this space. So having said that, do you have a ask? Is there anything you're looking for? Are you looking to hire? Are you looking to raise? Are you looking anything else? Feel free to share with the community.
I'm looking for, rather than being a narrative-based industry, I'm looking forward to having more users come on board, having more actual fundamental value to Web3, blockchain, Ethereum, layer twos, rather than, because currently this narrative, everything's being driven by narrative. What you really want to see is better products being built, and that comes with real world assets, that comes with like better layer twos, a better technology. And I want to see more liquidity coming on chain. DeFi TVL is still very low as to where it was 2 years ago. I want to see more users coming on chain. I think users have been increasing since, I think, earlier this year, but it was still at a point where it's still very low to some of the valuations in this space, right? If Solana's valued at certain billions, it doesn't really have that many users. It's got a lot of bots and a lot of transactions, right? But in terms of actual real-world users, there's no way it justifies that kind of valuation. So what I want to really see is more liquidity, more users, and then that can justify like a price increase in the assets. Because right now, everyone's just following the Bitcoin ETF hype, more or less.
There's two hypes, basically. There are two things that people are looking forward to, Bitcoin ETFs and the halving. There's two things. That's what I see, yeah.
Yeah, and of course, the market pumps whenever there's a good SEC loses against XYZ company. So, it's not really sustainable, in my view, anyway. I think everyone expects the ETF to get approved. What if it doesn't? You want to have something else to back this everything up with, right? You want to have, everyone thinks it's a non- It will happen at some point. I do also tend to agree with that view, if not in the next 6 months, maybe next 12 months or something like that. Yeah, it will eventually come to pass. The problem is we just can't rely on this one or two small things to push the industry forward. We've got to make better products, and that's going to bring more users and more liquidity.
100% agree. We need to build better products. VCs and investors I talk to, they're all looking for that the next killer app or next app. Everyone is, but it is so hard to tell. Just like no one expected in 2009 when the first Bitcoin white paper was out and people were reading, no one thought that people will be trading monkey pictures on blockchain. Yeah. For millions of dollars every day. No, you can't. Exactly. We don't know what the next that killer app that will create billions of dollars of transactions and get in tens of millions of humans interacting in this space, or hundreds of millions of humans interacting in this space would be. It's so hard to tell. But yeah, but having said that, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you and getting your insights and seeing what Heaven One is building. And now I understand how it is different to the most sort of public L1 blockchains out there and why there is a need and a niche for it.
Yeah, it's great talking to you, Sam. I think, yeah, we'll definitely have to catch up in the future after a few months to touch base.
Absolutely. See, yeah, how that's going and, yeah, how's the progress with Heaven One? And hopefully you would have gained escape velocity and hundreds of thousands, if not billions of users.
That sounds good. Anyway, it's great chatting with you.
Thank you so much for tuning in and listening or watching this episode of the Web3 with Sam Kamani podcast. By now, you know the drill. Leave a comment or share this episode with a friend and leave a review. I would love to hear from you. So that's why my DMs are open. Reach out to me, especially if you are a founder building a product in Web3. Then I would love to hear from you. What are your challenges? Is there anything that I can help you or my community can help you with? Thank you once again and wish you best of luck in building your startup or your project.